want to first of all thank everyone for coming tonight together. It's been a number of weeks not seeing many of you, and just to see your faces brings a smile to my face. And seeing those of you that even who I don't get to see that often, getting to see you tonight is really a chizuk. The question over the last few weeks, everyone calls me here and there, and they ask me, of course, how Lizzie is doing. Tonight really is about giving chizuk to me. Why is it giving chizuk to me? I'll explain why, and I'll tell you why the shir tonight is going to give chizuk to me. I was traveling up to the mountain the week that many of you already went up to the mountains. So I had to be in Monroe for the day. I wasn't yet in the mountains, and I was driving, and I get a phone call from the hospital, and really from the doctor, Lizzie's doctor. I have never spoken to him. As many of you know, most of the last 9 years has been very little information. Although I don't want to spend too much time on this, I think that everyone should know a little bit about what's been going on, because going forward, I do believe that that's our hope. And I get a phone call. I was told, finally, after 9 years, that the doctor's name, and the doctor would like to speak to me. I'm on the way with my wife in the car, and the doctor reached me. He called me, who's really, really sweet of him, because he is the biggest doctor in the United States, from what I understand, one of the biggest doctors in the field of oncology, of the science of the brain. And he's calling the rabbi up, and he on the phone with me, and he can't share with you everything that he did say, but he says that at this point, it's really, really out of his control, and there's not much that he can do. And he said to me that it's time for you to speak to the family, and it's time for you to plan what you're going to be doing with the family for the next few weeks. And I said, of course, to the doctor, I said, I want to thank you for calling me. I said, why do you feel this way? And he says, listen, I have been dealing with this for 9 years. And he said to me something which was ringing in my ears, and even when I was coming in today, he says, listen, medically, there's nothing I can do. We've done everything. But he says to me like this, he says, let me tell you that over the last 9 years, and again, none of us were privileged to this information, because there were, and I'm not going to talk to you now why. It became clear to me over the last few weeks. But he said to me that over the last 9 years, I've been dealing with this. And Lizzie is one of, I deal with thousands of patients. I remember his words like yesterday. It wasn't too long ago, but it feels like I'm on the phone with him. And he says to me that I've been dealing with thousands of patients. I am, and he is, from what I heard, the biggest doctor in the United States, one of them. He says, I have thousands of patients, and I don't know most of them, and most of them, I deal with them, I give them what I can, I help them as best as I can. But there's one patient that I got very close to over the years. And I want you to know that of all my patients, Lizzie sticks out. And he is the patient that I would do anything for. If there was anything I could do, I would do it for him. And I said, so what can we do? What do we do? So he says to me, he's Jewish. I don't know how religious he is. I did today ask in the hospital, just because his name keeps on coming up. So I said to him, what can we do? He says, let me just tell you, at this point, the only thing that you can do is he says you can daven. Again, he's not, I don't know how religious he is. And he said to me that I can tell you, and you can trust me. He says that most people for the last 9 years would have gone through what he would have gone through, he wouldn't be alive. But he beat this three or four times already. And he's won the battle, and he's become victorious three or four times. He said, if he could do it three or four times, he says he could do it again. Although the other three or four times there were things that they were trying. So he says to me that that's what we can do. He was in the hospital when I did go in today, and he wasn't there. But he did tell Lizzie's wife, he pointed to a siddur, and he says, this is what you can do at this point. there are other things going on in the background, which I can't really discuss, and it's not really important. But I could just tell everybody here, and it's the honest truth. Everybody knows that I carry a lot on my heart. I feel very, very close, and everybody knows everyone. And that was one chizuk that I did get yesterday, is that everybody is to me a best friend, and everybody is to me the closest family member. And when something does happen to a member of the shul, and to a member of Klal Yisrael for that matter too, it's really, really difficult. And it's really, really hard not just to sleep at night, but to constantly every morning wake up and say, what's happening today? And picking up the phone on a Friday morning, when I got a call this Friday morning at 5:30 in the morning, everyone has to run to the hospital. And it's a very, very scary phone call to be getting. But Baruch Hashem, things are stable. But what does stable mean? Stable means that Lizzie is unconscious and he's in the hospital and he's basically not awake. I don't know whether he hears me or not, whether when I talk to him, he hears me or not. No one really is visiting, because Lizzie's request when he was awake was that he doesn't want anybody to see him the way he is in the state that he's in. And therefore we are following what he wanted us to do. Except one of the things that he did say is that whatever the Rav says is something that he told his wife, that I did speak to her for a while. And they can only request of the Olam here, yes, we're human. And as a Rav, I do have a lot of things that I have to think about and make sure things are in place and worry about. But we have hope, and we believe that we can accomplish and we can do anything. As the doctor told me, he doesn't tell this to many people, and I've been speaking to others, and again, I'll share with you just my heart a little bit. Lizzie, to every one of us, and I've spoken this over the years, is a best friend, and we need him, and we can't leave go, and we can't give up, and we have to, it's very difficult. And Friday, a couple of the Olam did call me up and say, we need some chizuk, what can we do? Well, how could we go through this? How could we think of the inevitable? How could we think it's not the inevitable? But how do we live our lives going forward when one of our chaverim is in the hospital, and the only place we can turn is to Hashem? Medically, right now, there's some things that we hope we can try, but there'll be always bederach because of what we're going to daven. It's really only in our hands, and it's our tefillos. And I can only ask the Olam that it is the only answer is tefillah at this point. There's nothing else we could do. There's one more medicine, which most probably has tremendous side effects, which is questionable, and the doctors have to fight about it. But the biggest doctor feels that why are we doing it? We only have tefillah, and the doctors all agree. I was with the nurse on the neurology in the hospital. And it's not a fun place to be visiting in the summer. I was staring at her in the face, and she was telling me, what are you doing? Why are you being mitzar? Not mitzar, because it's not in pain. But she says that she couldn't understand. And I explained to her. I took her out of the room. I spoke not in front of the of Lizzie's wife. She did overhear what I was saying, but I wasn't planning on that. But I told this nurse, I said, listen, I said, we as prim people, and say those words, but I said, we daven and we believe, and you're going to see that we can cause change. And the same way that a tumor comes, a tumor can disappear. And the same way that someone gets ill and sick and you think that there's no hope, you're going to see that we can, with our own words, we have the kayach to change the outcome. And that's what we believe, and that's what we have to do. So I can only ask the Olam before the shir begins, and I'll talk to you about why the shir that I chose is to continue to daven, to take our davening seriously, our dibur. I know the country, it's impossible to tell the Olam not to talk during davening. It's asking the impossible. But each one on his own, where you are, don't take out your cell phones. Focus on the davening, the kaddish, the amen yehi shmei rabbah. We've, as a kehillah, experience how it has helped. It's all we have left. We have nothing left. And as the doctor said to me, I asked him, did we do everything? We have done everything medically. Now we have to do everything that we can do to talk to Hashem. We have to cry to Hashem, and we have to daven to Hashem. Yes, how do we walk around our day? The chizik that I can tell you is that Lizzie wants us to be happy. And Liz just wants us to live our days and enjoy and relax. But at least the makom in the shul itself, wherever you are, to feel that we can't leave go. We can't go on without, and we say that to Hashem. As I mentioned to you a few weeks before the summer, we daven to Hashem that we need Luzi more than you do. That's what we say. In Shemayim, there's enough people there. There's enough people in Shemayim. You have enough people davening and learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need Luzi here more than you need him in Shemayim. And if we go to Hashem with that, and we talk to Hashem, like we talk to a chaver, a friend, Hashem's going to listen to us. And then we will see, we will hear the Surah Taivas, we'll see it, but we should feel, some of you do, but many of us go on with our days, and many of us go through the day, and yes, the summer's here, and we want to relax, and we want to enjoy the summer 100%, that's what we have to do. But at the same time, at certain times, at certain points, we have to pour out our heart to Hashem, and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that you can do this. We, the same way that this came, it can turn around. And just to be honest with you, when they took a scan this past week, they took a scan and the tumor stopped growing. Now, it does, they don't understand. Again, it was this MRIs, this CAT scans. I'm already a doctor and I know a lot more than I knew. There's a lot more than I know now that I wish I didn't know all of this. A lot of things and a lot of medications and a lot of things that are being performed. But one thing that I could tell you is they did take a scan and the tumor didn't grow. But he's on high flow oxygen and he can't get any more oxygen than he's getting. And we're not, and the respirators and the and all that is not options. So at this point, it's all tefillah. And if we can daven, they can lower the oxygen. And slowly by slowly, there are options that are out there. But it has to start with us to turn the tide. Hashem is waiting. He's giving us time. Because the doctor, when I was on the phone with him 3 weeks ago, he told me, and again, I'll be honest with you, I don't want it to leave the room here because it's not important. But the doctor says he has a day, possibly. It can go, it's not, he's not going to die from the tumor. That's what the doctor told me. He's not going to die from the tumor. I said, what does that mean? He told me, explained to me what that means. But Baruch Hashem, we still have that kayak, and we must use that kayak. We must use our kayak hadibur. We must use our kaya hatfila, and we see how it works. And I know that it works, and I see it daily, and I see it weekly. And I ask everyone, as much as I can give of my time, I'm giving my life. I ask you to give your life, Mesiras Nefesh. And the only Mesiras Nefesh that I can ask all of you is while you're davening, while you're in shul, put away your cell phones. I'm going to give a share now. Put away your cell phones. We can put away our life a little bit. We should focus on this Makom Kedusha. Hashem's looking down at us and he says that there's a shir going to go on, there's a tefillah, and you're still on your phones. One of our friends is dying. One of our friends is in the hospital and we're still worried about Olam Hazeh. We're still worried about our daily lives. Aren't there more important things? Our friends, our chaverim, isn't that more important? And that's all I can ask the Olam. There's nothing more important in our lives than Lizzie's refuah. There's nothing more important. And this shir is dedicated for Luzi. It's dedicated from Teva Refuah Shleima. There are other tzaras going on that no one knows about, but I do know about it. And yes, this summer is not a summer. I can tell you that. I'd rather be here than in the country because I have no cell service in this country. All I'm doing is going from place to place to find where I can get some cell service. So I have to go to the tower, I have to go to the 17 and sit on the road so I could be on the phone. I have to go to Camp Monk so I could be on the phone. I have to go, and then I have to get an AT&T jetpack so I can somehow use my Verizon through the jetpack to get on the phone. So I can tell you that I definitely would rather be here than be running around to find out which service is going to work and which phone call, who heard me, how many times I have to say, did you hear me now? And all of this is not, this is taking up way too much of my time. I do understand that I myself and the Olam asked me, how am I doing? Baruch Hashem, I'm doing wonderful. But I'll be doing even better when all of you are going to be my senefesh, because then I know that we're doing everything we can do. All I can ask of the Olam is we do whatever we can do. The doctors say they did whatever they can do. I want to make sure we're doing whatever we can do in a ruchniyah sense. They'll do whatever they can do, but if we're going to look back and say, you know what, we didn't do whatever we can do for the rest of our lives, we're going to feel guilty because you know what, we could have done better. We could have davened better. We could have cried during Rifa'enu a little bit better. We could have maybe come to time, shul, to daven a little bit better. There's so much in our avodas Hashem, in our tefillah, that we can always do better. And we never want to look back and say, you know what? We didn't do what we could have done. Because we'll regret it. We'll feel this for the rest of our lives. This is a part of our life and every one of our lives, that whatever is going to happen can make a difference for each one of us for the rest of our lives. And it's a scary thought, but it's the truth. But we will, as a chevra, and I didn't come in here to give mussar. I came in here to give us chizuk, and that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, it is a really, really incumbent upon every one of us. And it's not just our shul. Lizzie's a part of other shuls too. He gave a daf in another shul. He davened in other shuls. And over the last few days, they reached out to me. I reached out to them. But as a community, let's ask ourselves, are we doing the most that we can do for him? Because he would do the most that he would be capable of doing for us. Are we giving that in return to him? Are we davening for him? Are we crying for him? Are we saying, Tashem, I'm here on time for davening because, Luzi, I'm here for you? Are we saying, you know what? I'm going to put away my cell phone. I'll leave it in the hallway because I'm doing this for Luzi. Hashem's giving us chance. He's giving us time. He gave us more time. The doctors told me it could have been a day. I'm already preparing all the things, all the different things we have to take care of 3 weeks ago. We have more time. Hashem's saying, I'm giving you time. So let's use the time. Let's utilize the time. We will get through this together, and we will grow together, and we'll be besimcha, and we have to live our lives besimcha. We have no choice. We have to go every single day with a smile, and we have to go every single day and greet other people, and we have to go ahead and relax and go swimming and be with our children and do it with a smile and feel good about ourselves. But we will feel good about ourselves if we can look back and say, we did whatever we can do. I decided, therefore, to talk, and I went to the hospital today. I don't know, Lizzie hears me, he doesn't hear me, but his wife was in the room, and the sister was in the room, and I said, I'm taking a topic, Lizzie, that you love, because I want to share your love with the Olam, and talk about a topic that you love. And this one of his, I don't know if it was one of his last words that he said when he was talking, definitely when he was in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach time, he did mention this idea. And therefore, we will focus tonight on Eretz Yisrael because I was in the hospital today and his wife said to me, that is Luzi's love, Eretz Yisrael. His love for Eretz Yisrael, his mentioning about Eretz Yisrael after 120, constantly his love, he would run to Eretz Yisrael even when he was ill and sick. We are therefore going to learn, we're going to go through a little bit the B'nai Salavcha tonight and focus on the B'nai Salavchad. And I said, it's a chizik to me. Why is it a chizik to me? And I'll be honest with you. Days are on the phone with a lot of different things going on. For some reason, a lot of other people have been calling me too and dealing with a lot of communal issues. But we all, and yes, I go through the day nervous. I've epitomized many times. You feel nauseous and sick. You just don't even want to go on. But what I did notice over the last few weeks is, I being in Swan Lake, where I am, there's a lot of Hasidim over there. And being amongst Hasidim, they are not used to a Litvish rabbi. They didn't even know that I was a rabbi last year. They got to know that I was a rabbi because I would daven for the Amid, because last year I was in an Avil, and every day I'm davening for the Amid, and they like the way I daven. They give him a little life. I don't know if I daven. I'm not just saying the words. A little geschmack to the davening, a little feeling to the davening. Even more than them. I had more feeling that, you know, they were all inspired by me. So at the end of last summer, they said to me, they said, you know what? This is the first summer. We've been here for many, many years, but we really enjoy davening. This is what they said to me. They said, they're Hasidim. Hasidim enjoy davening. They said to me, this is the first year that we daven here in Swan Lake, and we really enjoy the davening. Next year, could we pay you to daven for the Amud? That's what they said. Can we make you the official chazin of Swan Lake? They said, don't worry about it. We'll worry about it next year. Anyway, I came back this summer. It happens to be that during the year, the Sam Hasidim, they remembered me during the year even. They made a simcha. They asked me to come speak at their simcha. There was a wedding. They asked me to come to their weddings. Someone gave a Sefer Torah. I come to the Sefer Torah. So they didn't really keep up fully with me because it was 1 year. Anyway, I came back in the beginning of the summer this summer, and they all said hello to me. They're all of course, they want me to daven for the Amid again. So one of them came over, right? He came a few days later to the Amid. He says, oh, you daven for the Amid again? I said, are you an Avo? He said, Baruch Hashem, no. I said, maybe I shouldn't daven for the Amid because it's an Ayin Hara. He says, we really, really, really looked so good. So I was there a few days and they said, oh, they know that I'm a Rav. Let me explain to you. Rabbi Yisrael Lieberman's there too. So it doesn't hurt that you have the one of our main Mespalim are davening in this Swan Lake. He is the Gabbai of the 7 o'clock minion. So they know that me and him go together. And they respect him a lot too. So they said to me, you're a Rav. Maybe you want to give us a share. I can need another share. So they said if you want to learn, I'm all for it. They said, good, we're having a daf yomi, and now we want you to give a daf yomi. Again, I'm talking about Sama Chassidim. They don't learn daf. They learn daf. So they tell them, and if some of them come to the shir, they say, we don't learn daf yomi. We just come to the shir. We're not really learning daf yomi. I don't understand the whole politics. I don't get into politics. Anyway, so they said, can you give a shir? Fine. And so we have Mincha Meir there, and I started to give the shir to some of the Hasidim. Then they said to me, you know what, there's a lot more people that can really appreciate you here in the country. I said, listen, if this Torah, I'm all for it. They said, good, could you give a chumash here? I said, you want a chumash here? I'll give you a chumash here. So last week, Thursday night, after Mincha Meir, later, it was a 9:45 at night, I said, you want to learn chumash? I am now giving a share to the Satma Chassidim in Swan Lake. So I have to speak Yiddish a little bit. I have to mix in a little bit Yiddish there with them. They are learning English. I'm learning Yiddish. They call me their Rav now. They even want to wait for me for Shemayin Esrei. So listen, I see that I have a life after here. And go to Satma. Anyway, they said to me this morning, you're going into the city because they follow, they're very want to know what's my schedule. So I said to them, yeah, I have to go, and they said, you have to give me a shir. So he said, what type of shir are you giving tonight in shul? You give me a literature shir? They said, they make jokes. They say, you're giving Reb Chaim. These are chashuv people, and some of them are big names. They said, you're giving a Reb Chaim? And I said, no, I'm going to do Satmar Rebbe. I'm going to... Eretz Yisrael, right? That's what I have to find out. So you have to ask them about Eretz Yisrael. I said, if it works, at least part of the share tonight, tomorrow night. Anyway, why am I telling you this? I said, for me, this whole summer is my outlet has been giving, although I need a break. And I said, what am I going to the summer? And I usually the summer, I prepare my shiurim for the whole year. And now I have to prepare a daf yomi for them. And now I have to go ahead and prepare a chumash shiur for them. But I realize that that's my outlet. My outlet for me is that they enjoy it. For them, last week, I created such a tumult there in Swan Lake, even the people that didn't come to the shiur, because I said some medrash over to them. And there was someone there that says, it's impossible. It can't be such a medrash like this. And all it did was create this unbelievable call of Torah there. Never had this amongst them. They never saw this before. Because when I understand, it's a different, yeah, they are tremendous learners and they must meet them. But they have a share and they hear these medrashim. And I went into who Bilam's children were. And Bilam's children started, I said the ego was Bilam's children. And I went into a whole share with them. Maybe the Olam will hear it sometime during the year this year. But they themselves made this whole call fire, and then the other Hasidim were coming over to me. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow night. I'm sure it's going to be a packed house. If the Olam wants and you're in the country and you don't believe me, tomorrow night, come to Swan Lake. I told them to have Tayam out. I said, whatever your Tayam is, my guys will do a better job than you. I said I don't want to put you up against them. So we'll see if there'll be time. I can't guarantee time now. So I shouldn't say that. I can't guarantee that. But my summer there for Baruch Hashem as a trying to, and what I did get is, and Rabbi Yisrael helped me out with this, is they say, tell him for Lizzie in the morning. They say, who is this? Oh, Rabbi Yisrael says to them, it's one of the, because now that they respect me there, Yisrael tells them he's one of our mispalim. Like they're part of our shul already. He's one of our mispalim. We have to daven for one of our mispalim. And they ask for the name. So we definitely, as a shul, have connections, and we've helped out a many others with Liman HaTorah. And let us therefore spend just a few minutes on a very important, interesting topic. And hopefully this will create that buzz of Torah. And at the end of the day, that's where our simcha comes from. It comes from Torah. And we should hear, we will hear Besuras Tovos. And at the end, I'll give an etza for each one of us, what we can work on over the summer. In this week's parsha, we find the divide, besides for Pinchas and Zimri, leaving that aside, we have the B'nai Salachad. We have this group of women, five women to be exact, who come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they want to share of Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says, and again, I'm not going through all the sheets, I don't want to scare you. This is just all of my work over the week, over this week, just putting everything down on a sheet. And then I figured, let me see how much time I have. I know that the Olam is, I don't want to be matriarch for everybody here too much. And I'm going to just go through a few things on this paper over here, talk about them, and then we will have a maskana. So we have a Rashi over here. And Rashi, and number five, for those of you that have the sheet, so number five on the sheet says like this. In this week's parsha, there is a count. On the women, there was no gzeres hamaraglim. They loved Eretz Yisrael. The men said, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. And the women said, we want Eretz Yisrael. How many women said they want Eretz Yisrael? Five. That's it. No one else. None of the other women want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They all wanted to go back to Mitzrayim too. There were five women that said they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they are the B'nai Salafchad. I will, and you heard this from me many, many times, that this Rashi is the chizuk for us going forward in Galus. How many men do we need for Mashiach to come? And we see that we don't need all the women. We only needed five for that Geula. So for the final Geula, we don't need everyone. Whatever the number is, I don't know what that number is. But we definitely don't need everybody. But what I would like to speak about, and that's what we'll start to share with, is this question, is how do we know that they loved Eretz Yisrael? How do we know the B'nai Salafchad loved Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they wanted it. We're going into Eretz Yisrael. You want a piece of real estate. If I told you we're all moving, we're going to Florida, so you're going to go buy it. You want a house in Florida. You want to go ahead and have a place to settle in Florida. They're going into Eretz Yisrael. How do you know they want Eretz? How do you know they love Eretz Yisrael? And that's my question to everyone here. How do we know that they love Eretz Yisrael? They want to share. It's an inheritance. If you have, and I'm dealing also over the last few weeks with an inheritance case, and this it's a nephew, and this nephew wants to inherit his aunt, not because he loves his aunt and he's so close to his aunt, but there's inheritance here. I want to share this inheritance. So how do you, Benay Funko, want to share their inheritance? Why should everybody get an Eretz Yisrael and not us? We also want a piece of real estate in Eretz Yisrael. I want a house in Eretz Yisrael. Do I want a house because I love Eretz Yisrael? Or I want a house because we're going into Eretz Yisrael? So how do we know that the B'nai Salafchad loved Eretz Yisrael? That's question number one. Second question is like this. Rashi also does say, besides that, they loved Eretz Yisrael. Their grandfather loved Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that? You're going to turn the sheet now to number eight. Again, it's just this is all of just a number of things that I'm working on. And it was just, I didn't have any time today to shorten it. But if you look at number eight, Vatigravna b'nai Salafcha ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe. So the children, we're going through the parents, the grandparents, the great-grandparents. So we have Salafcha, he's Chefer, the son of Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe. L'mishpachais Menashe ben Yosef. Very awkward. It should have said ben Menashe ben Yosef. Says Rashi, number nine on your sheet. Lama nemar, v'alek v'anemar ben Menashe. L'alayim aloch, Yosef chivev es aretz. Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, v'alisem es atzmaisai, I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. U'v'noisov, and his great-grandchildren, his great-granddaughters, also love Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, what do they say? So I have a second question to you. How do you know Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael? Where do we say that Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael? Maybe Yosef wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because all of us have learned, and this is, I said I was going to give you a share about this at a different time, just trying to find the right time, is that when it is a skula to buy a plot while we're alive. So where should we buy a plot? Should we buy a plot in Eretz Yisrael? Should we buy a plot here in America? There's two schools of thought, but Yosef, maybe Yosef wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, not because he loves it, but because he doesn't want to roll after by Tchias HaMeisim, the bodies and footlights have to roll through the ground to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a tsar, it's going to be painful, and maybe that's why Yosef wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. How do you see that Yosef loves Eretz Yisrael? He says, I want my bones to go up to Eretz Yisrael. So what? We should all, if that's what our dream is, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so then we want to be buried there. Why? Why do we want to be buried there? There's a lot of reasons why people might want to be buried there. But one of them is because when Tchias HaMeisim comes, we'll just wake up. We'll wake up. We're there. I remember my grandfather said, when Har Menuchas was able to be purchased for a price that was affordable. So he went there and he says, when I wake up, I want to be facing Yerushalayim. And he bought right there. At that time, you were able to just buy Har Menuchas. Some of those that are helping me out with Har Menuchas now realize that it's impossible to buy there unless you have a family member there. And it's really a, it's like the mafia there. It's really, really hard. And I've helped with some people dealing with this so they know what I'm talking about. But it's hard to believe what's going on, what goes on. But besides the money, you can't go unless you live there, unless you have a grandparent there, a parent there. It's very complicated. And then they ask absorbent amounts of money. They could ask $50,000. They could ask even more than that. And depending on what time of the day you call them, they realize what you need, how urgent it is, and then it becomes even more money. So it's really, really a difficult process dealing with that part of the buying plots in Eretz Yisrael. But people are doing it. Should we do it? Maybe we should. Yosef did it because he felt he should. Where do you see the love of Eretz Yisrael? To answer the question, how you see that Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael, so I could share with you, there are three answers, but we'll spend time just on one. And that is that, what is the reason why there are those that feel a person should be buried in America and not in Eretz Yisrael? And it's based, especially by the Hasidim, that's what they hold, because it's based on desire, they follow desire. And desire says that if you weren't there in Eretz Yisrael when you were alive, then living in Chutz Laaretz, living in, you ate the word, have desire here, right after, if you look at the number one and number nine, based on desire, you'll see it says, V'habir b'zeh m'goy al p'zayir HaKadosh, is that if you live in America, you're living in Chutz Laaretz, anywhere in Chutz Laaretz, you're Tamei. So how could you come to Eretz Yisrael now that a person's dead? They're double Tamei. Not only are they not alive, but the guf was nurtured by Chutz Laaretz. So you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. You're bringing Tuma to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef was totally pure, totally Kaddish, totally had no Tuma in him at all. Why would Yosef say, Ba'alisem es atzmoisai, bring up my bones? Why bones? He should have said, Ba'alisem es besari, my flesh should go up to Eretz Yisrael. I want you to take me right away. Yosef's plan was to go be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why would he say, take up my bones? Why bones? Take up the body. You don't say bone. So I saw a pshat, that Ba'alisem es atzmoisai is because Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael. And he felt that he doesn't have a right to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? I love Eretz Yisrael so much that I don't want to be Matam Eretz Yisrael. I want to be buried in Chutz Laaretz, as others feel. And once you're buried in Chutz Laaretz, and then the body decays, now you're left with just bones, then you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. You are allowed to move bones from America to Eretz Yisrael once they're Atzmaisa, once they're bone. Because it's only the Basar, says the Zayar, that is Tamei, because of what we eat. We ate Chutz Laaretz, we ate in Chutz Laaretz, we participated in the Gashmias of Chutz Laaretz. That's the Basar, but the Atzmoisai is not. Therefore, we see that Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael because he didn't say Basar, he says Atzmoisai, only my bones. If it was because he didn't want to roll to Eretz Yisrael, so he should go to Eretz Yisrael, if he's so concerned about himself, because he was totally Kaddish, he was totally Tar. But I really don't want to, I want to focus more on the B'nai Salachad, but Yosef did love Eretz Yisrael, and we have to answer B'nai Salachad. So when I was in the hospital today, I did tell this to Lizzie, because, and I told it to his wife, she was sitting there too, and so was his sister-in-law sitting there, and it was very, very meaningful to them. although difficult sitting there, and they haven't slept last night either. They also got a call last night. Just constantly, the doctors are like to scare people. The Benoi Salafad, what family were they from? They were from the family of Menashe. Right, the pasuk says, where was Menashe's chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Most of Menashe was not in Eretz Yisrael. They were neighbor Ayarden. We have Reuben, we have God, and we have Chatzi Sheva Menashe. We all want to live with our families, most of us. We want to be near family. It's very important. Maybe not when we get married, it's not healthy. And I tell the children not. But as time goes on, it's very important to live with family. You want to be with your family. You want to be able to visit. It's not like we had plans. You can go visit and get on a plane, go from Eretz Yisrael to America. It was very important to live with your family. Where was their family? If you go through Tanakh and go through the Pesukim and Yeshua, the B'nai Salafchad's family was on Eber Yarden. That's where they should want to be. They should want to be with their family. Where do they want to go? No, we want to share in Eretz Yisrael. If it was just because they want an inheritance and they want a place to live and they want an apartment, so then go with your family. Your family is on the other side of Eber Yarden. The fact that they were willing to give up on family, I'm not worried about my family. I don't need my family. I don't have to live with them. I don't have to have their support. We want Eretz Yisrael. Oh, you want Eretz Yisrael? So there's a love for Eretz Yisrael. You have that Chavivas to Eretz Yisrael. Now we see that the B'nai Salafah, their love for Eretz Yisrael. Their love for Eretz Yisrael is because the rest of their family was never in Eretz Yisrael. They were on Eber Yarden. On Eber Yarden, get a piece of real estate over there. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael anyway. From the fact that they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, we want a share. And that's the Lashon. If you look back at the sheet, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu that we would like, and that's what Rashi is saying. They loved Eretz Yisrael, and we therefore have a little bit of an insight into where. Now, where did they get this from? So they definitely got it from Yosef, but what about their father? Who is their father? Did it influence them in any way? And did they take anything out of this? And really, I want just to throw something at the island here, something different and a Meyerdik Medrash. And open up the island here to a great topic, which we will not have time to talk about tonight. But if anybody heard of Teretz, I'd love to hear. The daughters of Tzolofchad love Eretz Yisrael. Was there no one else that loved Eretz Yisrael? I'm sitting amongst all of us here tonight. Some of us want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We visit Eretz Yisrael. Were they the only family that had girls that wanted Eretz Yisrael? There was nobody else. There's 600,000 people. There were only five girls that say, you know what, we want Eretz Yisrael. There's nobody else that wants. Was there not one other family that they were girls? And the girl said, we don't have any brothers. It has to be. We see. There are many families that don't have any boys. There was not one family that didn't have any boys. And they didn't come to Moshe Rabbeinu with the same feelings of B'nai Salafad, saying that we want Eretz Yisrael. Is it possible that there's only one family in Klal Yisrael like that? We're Klal Yisrael. There's so many great people, so many wonderful families, so many parents and grandparents. Yosef also had many other children and grandchildren. There was nobody else that comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, can we have Eretz Yisrael? We have no brothers. Our father is passed away. Let's not forget, most of the men did pass away. They all died 20 to 60. So there were a lot of girls there that were they didn't have any, and none of the women died. Did not want no one else. So if you look at number 14 on the sheet, number 14 on the sheet says, and the Ramban says like this, Yitachein, Meyerdik, Ramban. And please say this over. That's my physic. Say this over. Speak in Shabbos, talk to others. Number 14, the Ramban says, Yitachin Shaloi Hayu B'chol Hadarahu. There was nobody else. Be'eretz, B'noi, B'noi Sierashes. There was nobody else. The Ramban says, nobody else. How could that be? How could there be no other families that only had girls? And they won Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, lost except for the B'noi Salafkod. Can't wait, Dibru Salafkod. There was nobody else. So there is a teretz that I'd like to share with everyone here, and then we'll try to explain it a little bit more in detail. Again, I don't want to take too much of the oilam's time here, and I also do have to go back up to the mounds. number 15 is like this. Midbar Paran. Midbar Har Sinai is called Midbar Paran. Says Rashi in Masechta Shabbos like this. Why is it called Midbar Paran? Every woman gave birth to a boy, Zachar, Rashi says, when the Bnei Yisrael after Har Sinai were said, Shavu lochem lo'aleichem, go back to your tents. That night, they all had boys. Rashi says, I don't know where the remnant of this is. I don't see where this is, but I know that there's a medrash like this. So Rashi is telling us that every family in the Midbar had at least one boy. When did they have that one boy? The night after Har Sinai. But not the night after Har Sinai, the night when the Shekhinah leaves Har Sinai, Hashem says, Shvu lochem, go back to your oy halim. You have the Gemara in Beitza. Go back to your wives. That night they went to their wives, and their wives became pregnant, and they all had a boy. Oh, so what happened to Tzlafa? Why didn't he have a boy? Where was his boy? Why if everybody that night had a boy, so why didn't Tzlafa have a boy too? Why did he only have girls? Why did he only have girls? So many of you can. He didn't get married afterwards because if the Gemara Bava Basra says that they were 40 years old when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were 40 years old, and when the year right now we are in the 40th year, it's definitely he was married before. So that would have been a good tarot, but he was married before. He definitely was married. If you're going to give me a different tarot, I heard some tarots on the other side. But if you would have told me that Tzlafcha died before Matan Torah, then you would make a good point. If you learn, there's a Gemara, but we'll see that the Torah doesn't really work. But if you learn the Gemara, let's learn number 18. Again, I apologize. Everything is all over the place. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar v'yimtzu, says Rashi. That's the pasuk of the Mekayish Sheitim. Bignus anshei Yisrael dibra kasev. Shalai shamru, they only kept one Shabbos when they were given Shabbos in the Midbar. They only kept one Shabbos. Uvishnia, in the second week, Bazev Chilalah, the Mekayishis was Bechal Shabbos already. This is before Matan Torah. So if you're going to tell me that he never made it to Matan Torah, that's a good teret. However, the Ramban himself, the same Ramban, writes in Bamidbar Perek Tezayin that the parsha of the Mekayishis Eitim, right after the Meraglim is the Mekayishish. It was in the same time after the Meraglim, based on the order of the Torah. If it happened then, so he was around when? During Matan Torah, because this is second year, Matan Torah's first year. If he was around, why didn't he have a boy? Why didn't he have a boy? Everyone else had boys. He's the only one who never had a boy. So we're going to turn back to the Ben Yayado. The Ben Yayado in Masechtas. Dr. Shabbos says like this.
How do you explain they only kept one Shabbos?
From the time of Morrow. They only kept one Shabbos when they were given.
40 years later.
Very good. That's not the wrong. No. So you talk about the Ramban?
Yes. How do you. It doesn't match.
It doesn't match. Yeah. According to Ramban, it doesn't match. I'm saying according to Ramban, it was the second year when Salafan was still. Yeah. Comes along the Ben Yayada. Unbelievable Ben Yayada. It's a Masechta Shabbos. Ben Yada, first of all, says, how do you know they all had boys? He says the word Lochem. I'm not going to go through the Ben Yada. I only put on the sheet. I need something to talk about Shabbos. It's after number 18. Right after number 18. Veda, he asked this question. Sheyesh lahakshis. Nibnai salafcha. Da my loy nisabri imam b'ben zachar. Why didn't he have a ben zachar? Acher ma'an Torah. After the Torah was given. Ben loymar. The imam mesa. Some of you might have thought about maybe their mother died before Matan Torah. Can't be, because the Bnei Tzlafchah said, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're not going to count us as children, then there should be a mitzvah of Yibum, which was only after the Torah was given. Amay nimtza beis, what are they saying? Haysa b'chayim. V'gam ein loyma, d'hoyu loy, again, d'ha amru, im loy titin loni Yerusha, if there's not going to be a Yerusha, our mother should do Yibum right now. That means their mother's still alive. Because they're saying, if you're not going to consider us born of children, so we're not children, so our mother right now should do Yibum. Because our father didn't have any kids. We just learned Maseches Yevamos. There's no children. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. So she's still alive. Their mother's still alive. So if their mother's still alive, that means she was alive, according to what I just told you. Look, either Ramban, he was alive and she was alive. Says the Nirali. B'siyata d'shmaya. He has siyata d'shmaya. He has ruach hakodesh. Diburim b'zachar. When did they have boys? Vayis laila. Sheshavu eitzim l'shesem. V'yeshen ishayseyem. There were those that night, when they were told shavu lachem layalim, that their wives were in Edom. Their husbands couldn't be with them that night. All of them became pregnant only that night. That night was a school up to have a boy. But Ubapa, that night it was over already. Comes out that being that night, Salofka comes home to his wife and she's an Edom. Inami b'ashkacha pratis. Now, I don't know what it is. Inami is it's ashkacha pratis. Lehoya ben l'tzalofka. It was ashkacha that he should have no boys. Dafka kidei. Why? That his daughter should get a shear in Eretz Yisrael, and the whole parsha should be written after them. So he didn't have a boy. Unbelievable. The Ben Yayad is telling us that it's true. Everybody else had boys. The only one in the Midbar that did not have a boy was Tzalofka. And why didn't he have a boy? So his daughter should get Eretz Yisrael. What? No, but why him? I still don't understand. There were other people that loved Eretz Yisrael too. They were not the only ones that loved Eretz Yisrael. We saw the women in general loved Eretz Yisrael. So we're saying over here that there's something special about Tzalofchad, that Tzalofchad himself has children that should be Zaycha. So you know what? Hashem made sure that night his wife was an Edom. So he couldn't have a child, because he would have a child, he would have a boy. He would have had a boy, then it would have gone to Eretz Yisrael. They would not have gotten an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. There has to be something more about Tzalofchad. It goes back into the... let's learn one more Gemara here, and then we will, at least for tonight, we'll have to take up this topic at a different time. But I do want to go back with you to number 10 on the sheet. Go backwards. We're going to number 10. We'll learn this, and then we'll conclude with what I want the Olam to work on. Tan Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned like this. What does it say? So Rabbi Akiva is telling us that the Mekayishesh Eitzim on Shabbos is Tzalofchad. Amar Rabbi Dibbe say, Rakiva, I don't understand. Ben kachu, ben kach, ato yisodin. You're going to get punished for saying this. It's Lashon Hara. Why are you saying who he was? The Torah doesn't say who he was. The Torah calls him the Mekayishesh. Im kidvarecha, ha-Torah kisisa, the Torah covers it up. Ba'ata megala. And you're saying who he was. You're telling us who he was. Why are you telling us who he was? Lashon Hara. We don't know who he was. We had no idea who he is. You're telling me his name is Tzalofchad. We're basically saying that, you know who's the one who was Michal Shabbos? It was Tzalofchad. Nobody knew. You're telling us Rabbi Akiva who he is. So who is he? It says, Im kidvarecho ha-toyro kisiso v'at megalo. Im lab at amaiti lab alay setadik. He's saying Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, I'm reading you number 11. So who, according to you, who was he? Is he not saying it wasn't him? Ela mehecha hava, says the Gemara, vayapilu hava. What is the vayapilu? Look at number 12. There were a group of people that decided to go to Eretz Yisrael early. Vayapilu la'aloi saloi shahar, v'aroim bris Hashem u'moshe le'moshe mikarev ha'machne. So we know that there were a group that decided that we're not waiting for 40 years, we just want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Frekta all the mefarshim, you're also saying Lashon Hara. You're telling me that their father, we know his name. We know Tzalofchad's name. His name. We don't, the Mekayishesh, we don't know who he was. Fine. We don't know the Mekayishesh. You're telling me now that, if you tell me he's the Mekayishesh Eitzim, you're saying Lashon Hara. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that he's the people of Ayapil, you're also saying Lashon Hara. What are you doing any better? You're saying Lashon Hara. You're telling me he's from a part of this group. I don't have a good terutz for that. I mean, the Mashah and others all ask the question. I don't want to go into their terutz, and they have the terutz in that we're just saying he's part of this group. We're not focusing on one person. The terutzim that are there are a little difficult to understand. But being that all the terutzim that I saw are a little bit difficult to understand, for at least for tonight, we can maybe say a chiddush. Yosef had love for Eretz Yisrael. He wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We see that Yosef's children had love for Eretz Yisrael. Who else do we see? One of Yosef's children is Lamate Ephraim, Hoshea ben Nun. Hoshea, does he say Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael? No. So we see that Yosef's DNA is Eretz Yisrael. He now has, even on Menashe's side, children that love Eretz Yisrael. Not only was it Yosef, and not only was it, but we now see that there was this love for Eretz Yisrael. I can't contain myself. I have such a love for Eretz Yisrael. We're saying now that Selofchad was this one who has love for Eretz Yisrael. And to say that someone, you were so kaddish and you were so whole, it's not the time. So you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. But maybe that is not the same level as the Lashon Hara saying it was Michal Shabbos, because it was in his DNA to go to run to Eretz Yisrael. Even though it wasn't this man yet, how could I not live in Eretz Yisrael? How could I not be in Eretz Yisrael? How could I not want to go to Eretz Yisrael? And maybe that level, yes, it's still shver, I agree, because still saying he did something wrong. But we see that this love for Eretz Yisrael was a reason. Yes, Mikaishus has excuses why he did it too. Yeah, and if I had enough time, I would show you that it was also because of his love for Eretz Yisrael. I was planning on showing that to you too, that even if he's the Mikaishus, why was he Michal Shabbos? Because he felt that people think that he had such a love for Eretz Yisrael that he thought only in Eretz Yisrael, if you're Michal Shabbos, people are going to get killed. People are not going to realize that if you're Michal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz, they're going to think that you can get away with it because he had such a love for Eretz Yisrael. That's what he felt. And he believed that the world doesn't look at Chutz Laretz the way they should. He had a love for Eretz Yisrael. He was concerned that people are not going to follow halacha outside Eretz Yisrael. Either way, for tonight, I would like to therefore share with the Olam and go all the way to the end of the sheet and talk to you a little bit about and end with this, and then we'll daven our mitzvah Hashem with the Yaivitz. And the Yaivitz says like this. We're going to do the Yaivitz till the end of the sheet. We're going to start with the Sfas Emes, the number 20. This week is Parashas Pinchas. Kavu Chazal, Kriyas Parashas Tmid. And why are we reading about the Talmud in this week's Parasha? Why now? U'misafim bein ha-metzarim. This week's Parasha, Tzadis b'nei Yisrael, v'yamar talem, es kar b'ni lachmi. L'oyer eretz to be ma'oyer, every one of us. Li bayis b'nei Yisrael, the hearts of b'nei Yisrael. We should want to go back to the Avodah space HaMikdash. The Gamakriya b'Shabbos Kodesh, when we read the laning this week, it's as if we're bringing the carbon Talmud. So it falls out the first week of the 3 weeks, Parshas Pinchas, and we're going to read about the Talmud. What's so important about the Talmud? Well, the Olam knows that I always spoke about how even if you have to skip, you should always say Parshas HaTalmud. You should always say Talmud. Why? What's so special? What's so special about it? If you look at the Yaivitz says like this. I want to write something. If the only aver that we have, we don't feel the loss of Yerushalayim, then we should be in Golis. And to me, this is the reason. You want to know why we're going through all these difficulties? You know why there's shmadois? You know why there are people dying? You know why there's so many tzarois? It's because we're not being misabel on Yerushalayim Karov. We don't feel the need of, we don't have that love for Eretz. Yeah, we want to go to Eretz Yisrael, we want to visit Eretz Yisrael. But the love of Eretz Yisrael, the love of the land of Eretz Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael itself, says the Yaivitz, that's why we have all these tzaris. The tzaris in Klal Yisrael is because we don't talk about Eretz Yisrael the way we should. What does the Karbon Talmud have anything to do with this? So there's a Nesiva in the Maral says in Nesiva Soilam like this, there's a Medrash, where the Medrash does say that what's more important than V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, what's more important than Shema Yisrael is Parshas HaTalmud. I didn't have room on the sheet. I would have put it on here so you could see it with your own eyes. But Shimon and Pazi says that better than V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha is this. Why? It says the Maral. When we serve Hashem, b'tmidus hagomer, when we do something with a constant every day, and we have this as part of our schedule, then we're an eved of Hashem. Whatever we do every day shows that we're an eved of Hashem. What carbon did they bring twice a day? Carbon Talmud. There's no other carbon that had as much as a schedule to it than the Karbon Talmud. Karbon Talmud shows that I'm an Eved of Hashem. And when we read Parshas HaTalmud then, we're showing that we are an Eved of Hashem. Because an Eved of Hashem, and therefore it's greater than all the other mitzvahs, says the Maral. Because all the other mitzvahs is a way to serve the melech, but first you have to be an eved. What shows you're an eved? What shows you're an eved is Parshas Tamid. Because Tamid itself is constant. It's daily. Every day I am ready to bring a carbon to Hashem. What we can do every single day shows avdus. Comes along, therefore, Reb Chaim Palagi. I want to read this with the Olam together. And if the Olam can say Parshas Tamid, at least tomorrow, and at least over the next 3 weeks, it's only one paragraph. Even if you come late to shul, make sure to say it. Think of the words. Think of that you're an Eved of Hashem. Think of this constant bringing the carbon tamid into the Beis HaMikdash. What happened on Shavuos Tamuz? They were mevatel carbon tamid. Tamid is batel. Oh, there's no tamidus anymore. So now there's going to be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Comes along Reb Chaim Palagi. Sedura tfilo shilachar alim, and he says, "Vanoichi na hedjit nahakti likrois nami kaidim shas mincha." Come to mincha a few minutes earlier, and you could say parshas hakavanas then too. And if you daven mincha gedayla for sure, she read parshas hakavanas sheve parshas pinchas mi parshas hatamid atzayfa parshas. Read parshas hatamid. Do you do it? I'm telling you, it's known. The skulas carbon shel chag hasukkos together. I'm not telling you to do chag hasukkos too, but that will be doing Shabbos. Shame Shivan Parim, those that can I get Shivan Sarim, the Mismatim Ochin. But I want to read you what he says here. V'chalish Yisrael, if any Jewish person has a tviyah yalilo v'tzaro mitzuka, anyone's complaining against you, any tzaris in your life, if you read Parshas HaKarbanos, heim skul musugalim li natzol mehem, you can be musugal that you'll be saved. K'may shakasa b'sefer, amidus ayin sham. V'ira Maisa brings a story. The echad, there was someone in jail, al tviyah achas, for some reason. And I said to him, shel yilmad b'chol yoim, every day, when you're in prison, make sure that it's not dirty. Read Parshas HaKarbanos halolu, read the Parshas HaKarbanos. He writes, it was chaydesh alu, meis Hashem ha'isazois. He got out of prison on Hashanah Rabbah, 21 days. We now have the 3 weeks, which is also 21 days. And he goes into hayoim Hashem nishlamim HaKarbanos, but he goes into then talking about Parshas HaTamid. If we can read Parshas HaTamid in the morning, read Parshas HaTamid before Mincha, come a few minutes earlier to Mincha, say the Karbanos of Mincha. I know there's reasons why not, and there's many of the Sfarim say why we don't do it, even if it's supposed to do it by Shabbos. Well, let's do it. Let's show our Tamidus. Let's show that we have a schedule too. We are saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tamid. The Ikar is what's in our lab. I don't want to go into this idea, but if you look in the word lev in our heart, it's all belev. Hashem looks at our heart. In the word lev, every letter is a word. If the letter lamed spells out lamed mem dalid, that's lamed. Lamed is lamed mem dalid. Beis is beis yod tav. What are the hidden letters of lev then? Tav mem yod dalid. Again, lamed is mem dalid, so we have a mem and a dalid, and beis is yod and a tav. It spells the word lamed. What is Hashem looking for in our hearts? What are we constantly doing? Where is our tmidus? If we have tmidus and we read Parshas HaKarban HaTamid and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu we have taurus and we need refuah, we're doing whatever we can do. And whatever we can do is that we are being mice and effort. That's what a carbon is all about. We have this love to Eretz Yisrael. Let us during the next 3 weeks, hopefully we don't have to have another Tisha B'Av. But we should feel the love of Eretz Yisrael. We want to be in Eretz Yisrael, not because we want an apartment. It's a Jewish state. We love this land. This is the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. This is where we, as a nation, ran to Eretz Yisrael eventually, living in the land of Eretz Yisrael, feeling the Tzar Hashchina. If we can daven and give all our kaiches to our tefillah, to our dibur, because Baruch Hu will listen to us. We don't know what Hashem's plans are. Before I finish, Nes made a Siyam Ashas a few weeks ago. I do want to, and I was at the Siyam, it was a tremendous Siyam, and we want to wish him a Mazel Tov, and he should continue to finish many, many more Masechtos. He started Yishalmi. Once again, I want to thank the Olam for coming together. We're going to emit Hashem. We'll hear Besimchas Tovos. We'll have good Mazel. Well, we have to be Besimcha. Someone asked me, how do you be Besimcha? That's our job in life. We have to be happy. We have to have Simchas Achaim. So yes, through the day. And that's all I ask the Olam is. During the day, we should be B'Simcha. When we're davening, we're crying to Hashem. When we're davening, we'll feel Tzar Hashchina. When we're davening, we feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't, you have enough in Shemayim already. We need this more than you need it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Natzfila. We say, Mabetza, what are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have already enough. If we go through our tefillahs and we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we answer Amen Yehesh Meiraba, we convince other people over the week and over the weeks, let's focus on our tefillah. We will be zeichet to go up to Eretz Yisrael, where then all these tzaras disappear, and then we will have Yeshuas. Everyone should continue to have a healthy and a good summer, and please be in touch. It's good to hear everyone's voice, everyone's call.